It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to mock. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia with me today, fresh from Patriots camp. He might be on special teams, but he's always special here. He's Andrew Erickson. Derek Brown is back. The hat is here. It is backwards. That's how you know he's really here. And we have a special guest today. Oh, baby, do we ever. From Fantasy Points, the one, the only, Graham Barfield is joining us. And today, we've got all of you with us. That's right. We've got some of our Fantasy Pros peeps, our Fantasy Pros family, drafting with us. This is the half PPR mock draft, and we are going to be going through that today. Erickson, you are at camp, so I want to get all the buzz from you. You're like the Adam Schefter, the Ian Rappaport. So any news you'd like to share with the audience from what you saw today over in New England?
Devontae Parker is the number one wide receiver on the Patriots. No doubt in my mind, when he's healthy, he's going to be the most productive receiver from a fantasy perspective. No idea who the backup to McCaffrey is. They Hubbard and Foreman continue to split reps, and it could just be a committee if McCaffrey goes down. And the Panthers offense as a whole, outside DJ Moore and McCaffrey, don't want any of them because that offense is not good.
Sounds like something I've heard on the show before from some other bald, handsome man. I don't know who that is. I'll have to think about it later. Derek Brown, speaking of bald, handsome men, you have nothing to share with us from training camp. I assume you weren't at anywhere today with any news, but I know we had some Miles Sanders issues going on with the leg. Are we back to the old tricks with Miles Sanders again? Is that what it feels like?
I mean, another year, same problems, Joe. No, I wish I was at a training camp. I'm getting ready for first day of school. You know how that goes, dude. So lots of school supply shopping and a little bit of hating life right now, but it'll all be okay.
I did all of that the other day. We went and did the whole, you know, $150 later of notebooks and Trapper Keepers and things like that. Now, Graham Barfield, what I love about you is obviously many things. Your analysis, your incredible hair that may or may not be attached to that hat right now. But I also love the Zero Hedge hashtag. And of course, if you follow him on the Twitter machine at Graham Barfield, you're aware of this already. Zero Hedge. I love this. Talk to everybody about what that means.
Yeah. First of all, hi guys. Nice to do a show with you guys. I think it's the first time I've done a show with you, Joe.
Hi, Graham.
I think years ago, you, me, and Sealy did some stuff together, but that was so long ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not important, so he would forget.
Andrew, this is our first show together, so it's nice to do a show with you guys. But man, Zero Hedge. Listen, I'm not about this business where you play the game where it's like, oh, what if I'm wrong? Like, play like the way you're right. Don't hedge. Play the way you're right. If you're right, and go down with the ship when you're wrong. I'm more than fine to take L's when I'm wrong, but I'm going to play like I'm right.
I like that. Own it. Ownership of it. That's what you do. I mean, you do all this research, you do all this work. You might as well draft all the same guys you want, right? Those are your guys. Why would you start to pivot? Then you don't believe in the work you did. I love this. Zero hedge. I'm believing. I want the t-shirt. Do you have the t-shirts? Because I want to wear one.
Oh, man, that's a great idea. All right. I'm going to make t-shirts, get hats, 50-50. Turn into a whole brand.
We're zero hedge onesie.
Let's go.
Love it. Oh, there you
go. Could have lots of opportunities there. All right. You've got an opportunity as well. Now, if you are watching the draft on our YouTube channel, which again, I strongly endorse because you can see all the draft picks flow. If you are a subscriber to our Fantasy Bros YouTube channel, it has its perks. Obviously, you click that little bell for notifications. You get all the pods, all the videos, everything, the live streams like this. And also, you're going to get an opportunity to win a jersey. It just came fresh off the presses today. A Javonte Williams autographed jersey. Look at that. Top five RB this year, Javonte Williams. That's right. I said it. Number 33. It can be yours. We're not giving it away today, but you can enter to win today if you subscribe to our YouTube channel and drop something in the comments as you're watching the draft. And today's draft obviously is brought to you by the Draft Wizard, or should I say Draft Wizard? Every time I say the in front of it, I end up in HR. It's just the Draft Wizard, baby. It's just Draft Wizard, not the Draft Wizard. And you can be using the Draft Wizard too. There, I did it again. Oh my goodness. I'm incorrigible. The Mock Draft Lobby is available right now. You can go in there and get in live drafts with other people. Go mix it up with them. Go have some fun. You can run the draft simulator. It works exactly the same. So you can draft against real people, computer opponents. Get ready for your draft. This is training season, everybody. This is what we're doing. We're getting ready for our season, getting ready for the drafts. And there's nothing better than running those simulations and running in mock drafts over at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. It is the absolute best software. You get all the expert opinions. You get all the grades. And if you're running those simulations for yourself too, you get to back out picks, try new things. If you're a premium subscriber, you get to enter in the keepers and then draft along with that. If you are premium, you can draft against the bots in your home league with their tendencies with the new draft intel tool. Amazing things we've got going on there. And before we kick things off too, I also want to thank the sponsor or one of them today, which is Spoiled Banana Society. That's right. Spoiled Banana Society is here for you. And no, that is not Derek Brown's OnlyFans account. This is a real thing, my friends. Curious about NFTs? You don't know where to start? Spoiled Banana Society, or SBS, might be the fit for you. And SBS has built an exciting Web3 fantasy football game all through NFTs, which is super cool. With over $1 million in prizes won already, this season you can compete exclusively with other users in SBS community leagues for weekly and seasonal prize pools, including a Board 8 Yacht Club NFT for first place. And the cheapest one is 160 grand right now. Sounds pretty impressive to me. So how does it work? There's no draft, and your NFT is your whole team. That's it. Each NFT contains 2 quarterbacks, 4 running backs, 5 wideouts, 2 tight ends, and 2 defenses, and users must set their starting lineup every week from their NFT roster. And SBS's innovative positional best ball format makes injuries less annoying by replacing players with team positions. For example, if Mike Evans is on your NFT and it would contain Tampa wide receiver, then your team would then get the highest scoring Tampa Bay wide receiver for that week. And because there's always going to be a Tampa Bay wide receiver, not only is your NFT competing every week for seasonal prizes, but also your NFT carries over year, competing for prizes each season with no further purchase necessary. And you can find out more about this at SBS's site at sbs.xyz, and make sure to join the community on Discord and follow them on Twitter at sbs_xyz today. And again, that's sbs.xyz. So check out the Spoiled Banana Society NFT fantasy football game. Sounds pretty exciting there, that's for sure. I know Chris, our producer, is very excited about it. He's already making an NFT of this board of the four of us to compete in that challenge, which sounds fantastic. Now, today, we're going to be kicking things off here again, half PPR style. We're going to kick this draft off. Derek Brown, you're drafting from the 5 spot. Graham is actually just Drafter. That's what he's going by today. This is his alias. because he's very popular on Twitter. He doesn't, you know, doesn't need all the publicity. I will be drafting all the way from the turn. I'm taking the fifth spot today. And BPE, you selected right before me, which is just what happened yesterday, because you and I were in a draft last night together and you sniped me more than once. I can only hope I got you at least once in that draft.
Oh, no, you definitely did. And that's why I picked right before you, because the sniping is going to continue.
This is the Andrew Erickson revenge tour. Is that what it is? All right.
Watch out. Good.
Watch out. I will watch myself. All right. So we have begun the draft. And with us today, we have some fantastic folks. Again, you know, we've got Foxworth 7. I know she's been very active in our Discord and all the mock drafts. She's selecting first. She selects Jonathan Taylor. We've got Reefy Reef. We've got Graham Barfield. We've got Keeg Hogg, Derek Brown, Get Schwifty. I always love a good Rick and Morty reference. Dream Team, Chris 2333. The other previous versions were not good. This is the best Chris we could have had. Dave C. We have Stassi Bo, and of course BPE and me, Joey P. So Jonathan Taylor goes first to Foxworth 7. Justin Jefferson goes second. I love it. The Joey P influence on the draft is already apparent. JJ going number two overall. Christian McCaffrey goes third. No influence, obviously, from Andrew Erickson's report from training camp. Austin Eckler goes fourth. Derek Brown, you're up next with the fifth pick. You're on the clock.
I mean, it's wide receiver time, guys. I'm debating between Cooper Kupp or Jamar Chase. You know what? Let's go with the variance. I'll go Jamar Chase. I took Cooper Kupp, and I think the last draft, or maybe the one before that, look, they're in a tier of their own. It's Jefferson, it's Kupp, it's Chase. One of those guys is going to be wide receiver one, so I'm feeling Chase today.
I love this. You know, I feel like a month ago, this was not necessarily where you'd be going with this pick. I feel like you would have just, you know, ho-hummed one of the running backs. This is great. I feel like an influencer. Maybe I should be the one with the OnlyFans account. I don't know. Cooper Kupp goes next with Geoff Swifty. Dalvin Cook goes at 107. That, to me, I thought was where Derek Brown was going to go. I want to go back to Drafter. So Drafter, a.k.a. Graham Barfield,
Graham's burner.
Christian McCaffrey, no influence whatsoever in terms of your concern from Andrew Erickson's scouting report today.
I'm just a draft bot over here. Just lurking in these draft streets. I actually took the three spot because that was like the earliest spot taken, and I wanted Jefferson, but I'm more than happy with McCaffrey. My guy Scott Barrett kind of summed it up perfectly with him. Like, either Christian McCaffrey stays healthy for 15 games and he wins your league, or like he misses 7-8 more games and you're struggling once again. I think it's really that simple with him, man. He's like the gold standard in fantasy PPR or half. And he stays healthy for 15-16 games, man. Like, you're golden. You know, that's the only, you just have to, you know, light some candles, say a prayer, Hail Mary a couple times, and pray he stays healthy.
Well, I guess here's my question about that, too. And then we'll get to the rest of the picks here in the round. We're only on a 30-second clock today, so we're going to move quickly. But, you know, when you're looking at that, you have the whole board. Is that enough of a discount? I mean, third overall, isn't there an opportunity where maybe, you know, if you're getting him at seven, you could say, okay, I can back that up right away. But when you're at second or third overall pick, or even first, as I see him going in some spots, do you think that's enough, basically, of a discount to, you know, possibly throw your whole season away before you've even begun the rest of your roster construction?
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, he's my 101 for what it's worth. Okay. I just think he stays healthy and he single-handedly gives you a 50% chance to win your league. I get it. You know, I also get the flip side. Jonathan Taylor's never missed a game, really never missed a practice, even dating back to his, like, Wisconsin days. But we have concerns with JT too. I think, you know, Colts are going to be a little more pass heavy. Naeem Hines is going to mix in on passing downs like he did last year. You know, Christian McCaffrey's, you know, he, like I said, he's the gold standard, man. And, you know, I get why, you know, somebody would take a Jefferson or even Cooper Kupp in that spot, you know, if you don't go JT. But McCaffrey, man, it's just, he's the gold standard. You know?
Jonathan Taylor, by the way, also had a perfect attendance record in seventh grade, just in case you were.
Oh,
I did get that memo. I did. I do my research, baby. I know. All right. So after Dalvin Cook went with the seventh pick, Derrick Henry went eighth. Najee Harris went ninth, and DeAndre Swift went at 110. I was hoping he made it to me to the turn. He did not. Stephon Diggs, BPE, talk about the pick.
Well, I know you're obsessed with going wide receiver, so yeah. I took Diggs on purpose because I knew that he would not come to me in the second round. And I liked the running backs that would fall to me. So there were a couple running backs I would have been happy with getting at the 202, and I knew you wouldn't take both of them. So that's why I went with that approach with Diggs first and then following it up with Saquon Barkley because you took Mixon.
So basically, Andrew Erickson opened up a spite store at the 11th pick today. And okay, that's fine. You know, it's funny. Today, I was actually going to do something different. But now, screw it. You got to screw around with my stuff? No, I went ahead and I took Davante Adams with one of my picks. And then I took Joe Mixon. I was contemplating taking Swift and Mixon if they made it to me. But DeAndre Swift starting to push up the draft board. Have you noticed that lately, Andrew? That the DeAndre Swift movement gone from like RB15 to now, you know, somewhere in the top 10 RBs. Have you noticed that lately? Because I certainly have eight.
Yeah, because he has the exact skill set that you want in a fantasy football running back. Like, he catches passes out of the backfield. He has a statue quarterback. He has good offensive line. And yeah, you know, the only reason he's not being drafted higher is because Jamal Williams, you know, has a role on offense. But I'll take the value that he falls for that reason, because Jamal Williams is just a guy when Swift is going to get all the high value touches, especially in the red zone. I mean, Austin Eckler doesn't play on every single down, and he was awesome last year. So I think Swift really has like an Austin Eckler type ceiling in his range of outcomes this year.
All right. So after I took Joe Mixon, so I got my RB1, my wide receiver one, you took Saquon Barkley. You also took Barkley in that draft we did last night in that industry league. So let's talk about Saquon Barkley and the bounce back potential for him. Now that's a discount compared to McCaffrey.
I mean, when I look at running backs that could potentially play 70%, 80% of their snaps this year, there's not that many guys, but Barkley is one of those players. Like, there's no one on the Giants that's backing him up that is a threat to his workload. And the Giants have every single reason, as him becoming a free agent at the end of this year, to feature him as much as humanly possible. He's the best player on offense. Like, right now, Kadarius Toney, we like him a lot, but he's hurt right now. So Saquon Barkley has every reason to be super featured in an offense that should be much better. I mean, if I'm taking the Giants offense versus the Panthers offense, I think the Giants will be better. So I think Barkley is kind of one of the low-key players that could finish RB1 overall, because he's already done it before. So I love him in the second round.
Alvin Kamara looks like news getting better for him, potentially not missing as much time as we thought. We'll see if that comes to fruition. CeeDee Lamb at 204, then Travis Kelce, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones. Talk about your selection. Another guy who's flying up the boards lately, Derek Brown. Who did you select at 208?
I went with Javonte Williams. Took the home run swing after getting my wide receiver one in Chase, and I'll keep pressing the button on Javonte. Like, the downside is he splits work with Melvin Gordon. The upside is he gets 65-70% of the work, and he just crushes and he wins your league. Mm-hmm. So I'll take that home run swing. Like Graham was talking about it, we're not about hedge life here, people. It's get your guys, and if you're right, you win. It's that simple, man. So again, no hedge life. I know exactly who I'm going to go with on this one. And
well, yes, you can't go. I paused the draft.
I want to talk about
Graham's pick. So you think, I'm going to talk to our guest here for a second. Deebo Samuel goes, and then drafter, a.k.a. Graham Barfield, gets to select next. So, Graham, let's talk about your pick, and then when it came back to you around, we'll recap those picks after.
Sure. So Leonard Fournette, I kind of view the same way as McCaffrey. He's been nothing but a bell cow, nothing but a stud in fantasy football when he's been healthy. Last year, he was the RB4 by fantasy points per game. You combine his last two seasons and then compare it to the position, he's the RB3 by fantasy points per game. I don't know about you guys, but you know, I think Rashad White is a fine pass catcher, but he is not somebody you're going to want to give inside carries to. White's already, he's got some work to do. He's behind this past week, and he was playing as the four behind Keyshawn Vaughn, behind Giovanni Bernard. So maybe there's going to be a little more time for Rashad White to kind of, you know, get his, earn some snaps with Brady. So Fournette, man, I think he's a top five back, and you can get him in the back half of the second round, because there is some risk with him, certain injury risk too. He's never played more than 13 games in a season. But like I said, he stays healthy. I got a great chance to win the league. And then Tyreek Hill at 303 is just stealing, in my opinion. I mean, he's one of the true difference makers, half PPR. So you get, you know, a little bit of a boost to the touchdown guys. And Tyreek Hill is one of the premier, if not the premier, touchdown maker in the NFL.
And in the half PPR, it's something I always preach, Graham, which is look for the guys who make plays and score touchdowns, because that becomes the difference maker in the half format. After you took Fournette, in between your two picks, Mark Andrews went 211, then Mike Evans 212. A.J. Brown began the third round 301, then Josh Allen at 302, Tyreek Hill at 303 to Graham Barfield. Keeg took Ezekiel Elliott, then Derek Brown. Talk about your selection here at 305, because you went running back back to back.
Yeah, I mean, look, I talked about no hedge live, man. I'm all in. I'm with it. We're going to buy into good offenses. And talking about a player that could stack up some touchdowns this year, I mean, one of my bold predictions is maybe he leads the NFL in rushing touchdowns. Yeah, Cam Akers, baby. I'm still in on it. I talked about it with one of our subs actually on his podcast the other day, Brandon Clegg, and I'm still in on it, man. Like, if the Rams revert back to where they're going to run a ton in the red zone, because last year they were top 10 in red zone passing, that could happen again this year. The other thing is we could see more of the touchdowns go back to the ground game, and I'm not buying McVay when he says Henderson's going to split. I'm not buying it.
All right, not buying that, and I wouldn't either in that voice, the way he talks, the way you just did that impression. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Drafters. If you love drafting NFL best ball teams, or you're looking to find out what all the hype around the new format of best ball is, you have to check out Drafters.com. Best ball is a season-long fantasy football format where you simply draft your team and you're done for the season. That's it. No ads, no drops, no trades, no setting lineups. Your best performing players automatically count towards your score each week with no extra time commitment, so you can draft as many teams as you like at Drafters.com. And Drafters.com is hosting a $1 million prize pool contest called the Drafters Million, which is a $20 entry with $250,000 in that first place prize. If you use the promo code Fantasy Pros when you make your first deposit over at drafters.com, you'll get a free $20 ticket into the Drafters Million. 12 team snake drafts start as soon as they fill up and are running all the time. So all you have to do is make an account, use that Fantasy Pros code, and hop into some drafts. Drafters uses a super simple total points format, so the highest scoring team from weeks 1 through 17 wins the top prize of $250,000, and the top 9,100 teams get paid. And right now, there's only 9,500 entries in the contest, so make sure you go check it out. Again, use that promo code Fantasy Pros when you make your first deposit at drafters.com, and you'll get a free $20 ticket into the contest for a free shot at the $1 million prize. Drafters.com. And now, back to the action. Travis Etienne at 306, Michael Pittman at 307, so not going to make it down to BPE or me. Keenan Allen, and now we've got a wide receiver run. Pittman at 307, Allen at 308, Teagans at 309, Deontay Johnson at 310. BPE, do you fall into the run, or are you going oppo here?
No hedge life, baby. Cortland Sutton, let's go.
Love it.
All right, talk about it. Give me the Cortland Sutton big speech. Let's go, because I've never heard it. How you feel about Cortland Sutton?
I think that he has a legitimate chance to lead the NFL in red zone targets, and that means he's going to score a lot of fantasy points over the last 4 years. Anyone that's fit into that category, top three wide receiver. So I think that even if target share is even between him and Jerry Jeudy, who is still, we're still waiting for him to do something at the NFL level. Yeah, I think Cortland Sutton can be the guy that capitalizes on touchdowns, especially in half point PPR.
Still waiting for him to do something. I like that. All right. After you took Cortland Sutton, I took Mike Williams, because once again, I stay on brand. Now it becomes a more interesting game to play. Certainly the field is a little bit more wide open in the full PPR. I like Kyle Pitts quite a bit. Do I like him as much in this one? I think I'm going to end up taking one of Erickson's guys here and go Kyle Pitts and take the early tight end. And then from his reaction, it feels like that was worth it. I mean, that was all worth it. And if you're watching this stream, not only should you like right now, this is the time to like the stream, because these are the moments. Every time that one of us upsets another one, I want you to like this video. It's very important. And don't forget, if you're going to win that Javonte Williams jersey, in order to do that, you have to comment. You have to be a subscriber. So make sure you like and comment, and of course, share and subscribe. Okay, Erickson, go talk about your pick, because your pick was the other guy I was contemplating taking. So once again, we're on the same page.
Yeah, so yeah, I would have definitely gone with Pitts if he had fallen to me, or Mike Williams. So yeah, Joe, we were definitely looking at the same guys in the same range. Go figure. But I went with Jalen Waddle here at the 402. I like the value on him getting him around later than Tyreek Hill. And obviously, Tyreek Hill's been the more established player, but you know, Waddle's an ascending talent. You know, he's young, he's younger. And I would argue he's the more explosive entering his youth, where Tyreek Hill's getting a little bit older. So I'll take the one round discount on Jalen Waddle and bet on a guy that broke the rookie receptions record.
In our draft last night, I think I had Adams, Williams, and Waddle, didn't I? And now I could have had all three again, but I passed. All right. DJ Moore goes next to Stassi Boo.
which is a great name, Stassi Boo. You're my Stassi Boo, Derek Brown. I just want you to know. Justin Herbert goes here. So we have another quarterback selected at 404, James Conner at 405, Terry McLaurin at 406. We're getting closer to you, Derek Brown. What are you thinking about taking here before Swifty goes ahead and makes their selection?
I'm looking wide receiver here. I felt pretty good about going running back, considering what I feel like the depth of the position. Come back here and get a wide receiver in what is going to be a good offense, and I might as well just press the button. I'm going to go. I know this is going to be a reach by the wizard. Is going to tell me it's a reach, but Rashad Bateman, give me that 25-26% target share. Give me the upside of a second-year wide receiver that was a ridiculously awesome prospect. Yeah, I want all that action.
Get your guys. Rashad Bateman's one of your guys. Breece Hall went right before you at 407. Rashad Bateman at 408. All right, drafter, you're coming up here. You're on deck. How do you feel about what's left on the board? George Kittle just goes. What goes next for you onto your squad?
Well, I'm a little bit sick of it because I wanted Rashad Bateman, so I'm pretty
like the stream.
No right Bateman now, for the burner. Moment.
Like away. It's like a shot. You know, every time you just like the stream.
Yeah, I'm going to pivot, though. I'll take a guy who's in a similar tier for me and Brandon Cooks. Listen, guys, I think Davis Mills might be good, like sneaky good. Had one of the most underrated rookie seasons of all time last year. And when Brandon Cooks and Mills played together, Cooks was a top 16 fantasy receiver by points per game. Guess what? Brandon Cooks for his entire career has been a nothing but a top 20 fantasy receiver. He is one of my guys this year. I'm on zero hedge. Him and Bateman are the guys, two of the receivers I'm looking at the most here when I'm picking in this like back half of the fourth, early fifth round range. So at least I got one of them.
Question for you, Graham.
Sure.
Is Davis Mills better than we think he is, or is the bar just set so low that anything resembling serviceable all of a sudden is impressive to us when it comes to Mills?
Well, I think, you know, the flip side is like we just had no expectation for Mills after, you know, Watson sat out all of last year. Look, I'm a big fan of like kind of looking at things from like a historical context. And if you just kind of look back at all of Mills' like baseline efficiency numbers, they were really freaking good last year. He was top 20 in passer rating among quarterbacks since 2000 to have at least 250 passes. He was top 20 in touchdown rate. He was top 20 in adjusted net yards per attempt, which factors in sacks. I don't know, man. I just think Mills is really underrated. And if he's as good as, you know, some of the numbers last year he had suggested and some of the ball placement that I saw on tape suggests, man, like Cooks is the nuts, is like a wide receiver two or wide receiver three.
All right. Allen Robinson goes next at 411, then 412, J.K. Dobbins and Eli Mitchell back to back for Foxworth 7. After that, A.J. Dillon, one of my favorites, goes next. So he's right out of the queue and on to Reefy Reef's team. You're up again here, Graham. Where are you going? You've got two running backs. You got two wide receivers. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I'll take a third receiver and take my guy, Hollywood Brown. I don't think there's going to be that big of a dip for Kyler Murray, man, with Marquise Brown. I think he's a huge upgrade on Christian Kirk's role and as kind of like their lid lifter from the slot. We already know Marquise Brown has already broken out. I think this is the latest I've seen him go. I haven't taken him in the fifth round all year, so I'm thrilled with this.
Erickson, you took him last night. I heard you cheering the selection there. So talk about Hollywood Brown and why you're also buying it.
I mean, people are buying into Devonta Adams and Derek Carr's college connection, which was like 9 years ago when Marquise Brown and Kyler played like not that long ago at Oklahoma, and he had a really high target share. So I think that his vertical game, he wasn't getting from Lamar Jackson last year. You know, Kyler Murray, you know, the advanced metrics, he was one of the best deep ball passers last year. So I think the fit is perfect for Marquise Brown, who's shown at the NFL level that he can command a high target share. So I love the call.
All right, Derek Brown, let's talk about your pick after Marquise Brown. DK Metcalf goes, and then another one of our fan favorites here on the show, Gabriel Davis, goes to you at 505. Let's talk about it.
Team, get your guys. I mean, Gabe Davis has got massive talent. I mean, I've talked about breaking down his game, and I know that all the target share and market share truthers out there do not like Gabe Davis. You splice up his two seasons in the NFL, he was an elite deep target in one of those seasons. Last year, he was elite in the intermediate portion of the field. 41% of his targets, yards per route run, passer ratings when he was targeted there were fantastic. This is the season where he puts both of those together, and he is going to crush.
All right, so after Gabriel Davis goes, Michael Thomas goes out of my queue and onto Swifty's team. You've also got Lamar Jackson at 507, then Patrick Mahomes at 508. Darren Waller goes next at 510. Erickson, you're up on the board at 511.
All right, I'm going to go with the guy that broke out at the end of last year, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Detroit Lions. We talked about him on the show.
Like it.
And I, or a recent show that we did, and I just think that what he did last year, even though the targets, the competition wasn't nearly as tough as it is to open the year, I think that his performance should not be ignored as a guy that could take another step forward in year two.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and I think take some running backs here because it is getting thin out there right now at the running back position. I'm going to go ahead and take Tony Pollard, hope for some upside there. You know, the Elijah Moore staring at me in the face. I've got another couple guys here looking dead square in the face as well. Between Stevenson and Singletary for me, how did Stevenson look in camp today? Did you get up close to him today? Just curious.
I did not. Nope, did not see him.
That means you're lying, so I'm going to take him. That means he was good. He was excellent, and I know you're saying that just to dump me, so I took him instead. So give me Ramondre Stevenson, give me Tony Pollard. I've got Joe Mixon, so I've got my three running backs, all of which can catch the football, which is good, some extra points there. You go ahead and take Elijah Moore right after, which is the right thing to do. We also just heard right before we started the show about 20 minutes ago that the surgery for Zach Wilson was a success, they deemed, but obviously he won't be back until he's ready to be back. So I guess it's going to be the Joe Flacco show for the time being. Talk about Elijah Moore here, who, look, performed very well last year, Erickson, with anybody basically playing quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, I know that we talked about Rashad Bateman, the guys liking him here in the draft, but like, you know, Elijah Moore could also have, you know, 25% target share as a year two wide receiver. I mean, he's not competing with Mark Andrews for targets. Like, he's competing with Corey Davis and Garrett Wilson, obviously a talented guy as a rookie. But, you know, still looks like he's rotating in, at least from the first preseason game. Elijah Moore's on the field on every single play. So he's viewed as the number one receiver. And honestly, there were reports that Joe Flacco was playing better than Zach Wilson. So Joe Flacco starting as a veteran who, you know, we've seen veteran quarterbacks, they can just, sometimes it's just easier for them to just support one fantasy viable weapon. If he just locks onto Elijah Moore, I mean, it's wheels up. And in round six, I'm all for it.
All right. Don't forget to like the stream and comment below if you want to get involved in that Javonte Williams jersey giveaway. It's not giving away today. Just want to be clear, not today, but you will be entered if you are a commenter on today's live stream. All right, Derek Brown, we're getting closer to you. Eric had a question here for you as well. And there you can see that Javonte Williams jersey in all of its glory from pristineauction.com. Again, Pristine Auction has amazing stuff over there. If you haven't checked out the website, go do it. This is the time of year to do it. Eric White wanted to know the thoughts on going wide receiver at the 10 spot in a 12-team full PPR. Derek, I know your pick is coming up. If you have some time to talk about that, what are your thoughts about having that predisposed notion of saying, I'm going to do X here regardless of the talent that makes it back to me?
I don't walk into any draft with a firm set plan. I have no problem with going wide receiver at that portion of the draft. If the guys that, you know, you like at that point are not there as far as running backs, but as opposed to like going into a draft and saying, this is exactly what I'm going to do, I'll never do that. You gotta stay liquid, man.
Staying liquid, baby. That's your hashtag, staying liquid. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Buffalo Wild Wings. The best place to host your fantasy draft this year is at Buffalo Wild Wings. Book now in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy and get half off on all the bar food appetizers during your draft party. That includes nachos, buffalo chicken tots, everything pretzel knots, mozzarella sticks, fried pickles, you name it, they got it. Buffalo Wild Wings has great deals on beers too. $3 tall house beers, $4 domestic beers of the month, and $5 craft beers. This year, Buffalo Wild Wings is also putting together the League Loser Package. That's right. The League Losers are going to be on the hot seat. The first 20 draft parties at each Buffalo Wild Wings location gets a fantasy football punishment pack. And in that punishment pack, you're going to get 6 free boneless wings with the hottest sauce ever blazing. And a bib to wear that says last place in big letters so the whole bar will know just how bad that person is at fantasy football. Plus a certificate of underachievement that's worthy of being framed. Not to mention free coupons for the whole league to come back during the football season. So don't forget to book in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Again, that's buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Spots fill up fast. Make sure you grab one for draft day before they're gone. And now back to the action. Chris Godwin goes after BPE, selected Elijah Moore at 603, 604, Dalton Schultz, then Brandon Ayuk, Darnell Mooney, Jerry Jeudy. Derek Brown, you took your boy. You got Jalen Hurts. Talk about it at 608.
I mean, it was either him or Kyler Murray, and I just did it for the brand, dude. I'm all in on Jalen Hurts. I mean, I think, like, future bets on MVP campaign, all these different things. The Eagles are going to be a really damn good team this year. And for everybody that said they're not going to pass, Nick Sirianni came out in the first preseason and all he did was pass with Jalen Hurts. So it's wheels up, baby. I'm here for it.
Wheels up. Amari Cooper at 609. And then Kyler Murray did go to our other friend here drafting with us today, Graham Barfield. Let's talk about Kyler Murray. Was he your first choice between him and Hurts, or did you get your guy?
I have Hurts slightly above Kyler because I'm with D-Bro that I think Hurts, man. Look, things last year like he was a league winner. This year he's a league winner. And he goes in this range where it's like, okay, I don't feel great about these running backs. The receivers are fine. You know, Cooper, Juju, Thielen, we're all on the board when he went. They're fine. Great threes, great fours. But Hurts and Kyler have like win your league upside. And I already have Hollywood Brown. So it was a really easy stack to complete there.
All right. Very easy stack. Juju Smith-Schuster goes at 6'11". Then Adam Thielen at 6'12". Foxworth kicks off the seventh round with Chase Edmonds. Glad I grabbed all the running backs I did when I did, though, because it gets real ugly real fast. Chase Edmonds, Miles Sanders. And again, we're drafting against our friends here, most of them from our Discord channel, which you haven't already. Make sure you join because you can join for free at fantasypros.com/chat. But once again, membership has its privileges. You become a premium member. You get to be involved in fun stuff like this, like these live stream mock drafts. We select some of our favorite people to come and hang out with us and do these mock draft shows. Let's talk about your next pick here. You went to the Eagles with that passing attack. It looks like that Derek Brown was talking about here, Graham.
Yeah, Devonta Smith, man. I think to Derek's point, I think people are going to be stunned about how good this Eagles offense is this year. I'm buying Hurts futures. I'm buying Eagles futures. I like them to win the division. I think Devonta Smith, you know, you look back at some of the best rookie receiver seasons of all time. Devonta Smith is right up there among some elite players. Like I said at the top, I'm a big fan of kind of putting everything in context, especially when it comes to rookie seasons. And like I said, on a very, very run-heavy offense, Devonta Smith was up there with the Michael Thomases, the DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Coopers, Juju Smith-Schusters of early season production. And then you kind of adjust for, okay, the Eagles in the back half of last year are running the ball close to 60% of the time on early downs. Devonta Smith season, A.J. Brown season, Hurts season. I'm a big fan of Eagles guys, and I got Devonta Smith here as my four. I'm a big fan of that.
All in on the Eagles. Let's go. Everybody getting really excited about the Eagles. All right. Derek Brown, Joe Burrow went next at 7:04. Then at 7:05, you are up. So Derek Brown, who'd you take?
Where is that accent coming from? Like, what part of the country is that?
It's going to get out of Philadelphia because what you do is you the Eagles.
I just spent the whole weekend with all of our Philly guys at the Expo.
Is it not the Philadelphia accent, Graham? I lived there for 7 years. I think it's pretty good. I'm just saying.
You sound exactly like my guy, Ben Kukanis. So,
that's right. You're going to get all in on the Eagles because if you don't go all in on the Eagles, you're going to be so mad at yourself if you don't.
By the way, it's not water. It's water.
It's water.
It's not water
ice. You're gonna go get a water ice for dessert because
it's water ice. Yeah, there it is.
Oh
yeah.
Lord, what?
Get a hoagie and a Coke and go down there and go talk about your selection. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is trash. Derek Brown.
Wow. So, all right. I know everybody is all in their feels and they love Isaiah Pacheco. We need to pump the brakes a little bit, people. Like the Chiefs came out last week and said, okay, here's 11 snaps for Patrick Mahomes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got 7 of those, and yet Pacheco stands are still like, teamwork. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is too freaking cheap, man. And I think that it's a lot of bias. It comes down to if we knew all those things about his gallbladder and stuff like that that wrecked his season last year, we would have not had the expectations we had for last season. And so I'll go back to his rookie season for a player that was top. He was RB12 in expected fantasy points per game. He was top 20 in missed tackles force and yards after contact per attempt. So yeah, I'll take a cheap lead running back on one of the league's best offenses.
All right, Get Swifty selects Drake London, your guy right after. That's got a sting. Kareem Hunt at 7:07, then Robert Woods at 7:08, Hunter Renfrow 7:09, Josh Jacobs at 7:10, and then Andrew Erickson stuck the knife in the front and in the back to me with these next two picks. I had them all ready to go, and then he threw me for a loop here. So go ahead. Why don't you talk about your two picks? I'll talk about mine at the turn, Erickson.
7-11, always open. I'm going with Trey Lance, who I just think is the late-round quarterback that you want to get. Two games started last year. Tons of rushing production. I just think it's he's exactly the guy I want. If I miss out on the elite quarterbacks early on, Trey Lance is definitely the guy I'm honing in on. So I'm excited about him. And then at 8:02, went with Devin Singletary, who is the Bills starting running back. I mean, people are shocked that he's the starting running back, but I guess after he was the top five running back at the end of last season, I guess that was justification enough for the Bills to label him as the starter. So I'll take him in the eighth round as my RB2.
Yeah, I really had contemplated taking Singletary there just to spite you there, but I'm better than that. I'm above that, so I'm not going to do it to you. So I ended up taking Alan Lazard at 712, and then at 801, I took Sky Moore. Again, talking about getting our guys. Love me some Sky Moore. So Devin Singletary was another guy I was contemplating. I never thought Erickson, he would make it as long as he did. I think that's appalling that we're in the eighth round. He was just there for the taking for both of us. I think it's fascinating, though, that Josh Jacobs has fallen basically to that same spot. Erickson, talk about that, because that is a development that's certainly been new of late. Your thoughts on Jacobs' descent along with Antonio Gibson into the pits of hell, who just went at, what do you go, 804 right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gibson is really the name to highlight, because, I mean, when we were doing mock drafts like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, like he was like a third round pick. But it just, everything with his situation is just getting worse and worse and worse. Like, he's already in a committee. He was, you know, reportedly working on punt team today. Like,
I heard he's working at the concession stand.
Like,
he's trying to get him reps everywhere.
It's not a good look to be in on Antonio Gibson. Now it's like in the eighth round, it's like, oh man, like that's, could he be, I mean, he's been RB1 the last 2 years. So, I mean, in the eighth round, he's definitely, you know, interesting there, but there are a ton of red flags with his profile. I mean, I definitely prefer Jacobs just because, you know, he looks like he's at least the starting running back, you know, for the Raiders, at least on early downs. I don't know what his receiving role is going to be, but with Gibson, I mean, week one comes along, like what's going to happen, especially if he fumbles again. Like, I don't know what his role could be in this offense. There's a lot of paths where he's totally neutralized by the presences of JD McKissick and, you know, Brian Robinson. So yeah, Gibson is really tough to push the draft button on right now.
All right. So you took Singletary, then Tyler Lockett, 803, Antonio Gibson, 804. Kadarius Toney finally went at 805. Christian Kirk at 806. Good value there. Tom Brady, 807. Derek Brown, you broke down, took a tight end. Talk about it.
So I wanted Kadarius Toney. He went before me, but I'll take an elite performer in Dallas Goedert. And I don't think that people still do not give enough credit for his talent profile. Last year, it was only Dallas Goedert and George Kittle, the only two tight ends in the entire NFL that had over 2.0 yards per route run and over 6 yards yak per reception. If Dallas Goedert ever got the volume, so if anything happens to A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, he gets a massive part of this passing attack, he would be mentioned in the same breath as Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, all those guys. And that's not even crazy to say. So I'll take the upside swing.
The theme of this show, the Eagles offense today. Damian Harris goes next. And then Grant Barfield, you went running back as well. Ken Walker, what are your thoughts on Walker this season? And you like him obviously over Damian Pierce, who went next at 8-11.
Yeah, zero hedge, man. I'm getting my guys. Kenny Walker is a yards created standout. Easily led this class in yards created per attempt. In fact, his 5.8 yards created per attempt is 92nd percentile all time in the 6 years I've been doing yards created. He also led this class in missed tackles, force per attempt. Guys, Ken Walker's just a badass, man. Like, he's the definition of a trans. Like, you know, we always talk about, you know, how much running backs actually matter, yada, yada, yada. Walker, I think, is in that conversation already in terms of talent as a runner. I'm taking him well over Rashad Penny. I think he's a league winner in this offense. And I think people are going to be surprised about how good of a pass catcher he is. If he can earn some big passing down snaps, I know Travis Homer's still there and Pete Carroll does silly things sometimes, but Kenny Walker is just a all upside pick in the 8th, 9th, 10th round of your drafts.
Stevenson goes 2 rounds ahead of Damian Harrison. So far, we have Walker going ahead of Rashad Penny. We'll keep an eye on when Penny turns up. Damian Pierce goes next at 8-11, as I said before. Then at 8-12, Russell Wilson, Chris Olave at 9-1, James Cook, and then back to you again. Graham, you selected a tight end here, TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, just a little value pick. You know, Hockenson usually goes in the 8th-ish round, so I think he just slipped a little bit there. I don't hate Debro taking Goddard over him. They're both supremely talented. I'm kind of just, if I don't get Kelce in drafts, I'm in on Schultz if he slips. But if I don't get like one of those two guys, like, I'm just waiting and trying to play the value game. And Hockenson, you know, he's not going to have a huge target share in this offense, probably 20-22%. But you know, Hawk kind of sneakishly broke out last year until injuries unfortunately ended his season late in the year. So I'm in on Hawk, and frankly, I'm in on this Lions offense as a whole.
Yeah, me too. DeAndre Hopkins goes at 904. Chase Claypool at 905. Derek Brown, explain yourself.
I like talented players. I don't think that Chase Claypool's talent. Is really good.
All right.
Look,
he keeps telling me he is. So
he
charted.
He finished almost touching 2.0 yards per route run in his rookie season, and I still think that that talent is real. And now we're thinking, okay, he gets moved into the slot. And I understand everybody loves George Pickens, but I'll take Claypool over Pickens.
All right, there you have it. After Claypool, you get Zach Ertz, Russell Gage, Rashad Penny goes, so almost a round later. Naheem Hines, the obligatory Naheem Hines pick, goes to Dave at 9-9, Dak Prescott at 9-10. And just to let everybody know, too, the top four scorers here are going to get 6 free months of Fantasy Pros Premium. So a little shout out for them. So hopefully, best of luck to everybody out there who's competing. BPE, you're competing after Dak Prescott. You took Cordarrelle Patterson. Tell us why you think that's a good selection at 9-11.
Because maybe we're all wrong. I mean, this guy was an RB1 last year, and now you can get him in the 10th round, essentially. He's a bench guy for me. Like, I don't even have to start Patterson, but if he can be a top 24 running back, if they still use him as a receiver, there's value in him where he's going. So he was someone you could start pretty much every single week last year, and he's basically been left for dead. So at this point in the draft, I'll take him as a bench guy. If it doesn't work out, okay, I'll move on. But I mean, he is their starter. Like, he barely played. He played like one snap, I believe, in the preseason game. Like, he looks like their guy in the backfield. So,
all right. I went ahead and took my quarterback, Derek Carr, at 9-12. Treylon Burks goes to me at 10-01. The upside wide receiver who I still think can bring a lot to the table here in this Titans offense. Cole Kmet goes to BPE. So this is your strategy. This is something I usually do, which is you usually end up with Pitts and I end up with the late tight end. We've inverted today. So let's talk about your approach here with Cole Kmet.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the few tight ends that we could really see having a massive target share in his offense that's not, you know, viewed as an elite guy. You know, Cole Kmet hasn't really taken a step forward, but he's entering year 3. I'm excited about him next to Darnell Mooney. I think Justin Fields is a good quarterback. The situation's not great. I don't know how much time Justin Fields is going to have to throw, but hey, tight ends are a safety blanket for young quarterbacks. And if he's rolling out constantly running for his life, he's going to check the ball down a lot to Cole Kmet. So I'm excited for that.
All right, Garrett Wilson goes next, then Melvin Gordon, Isaiah Spiller at 10:05. Dream team and get Swifty, 2 picks before Derek Brown. D-Bro, what are you trying to look to acquire here?
It's again, shooting upside and stuff. I mean, I could go running back and go wide receivers. I'm going to go with probably, it's either running back or receiver. It depends on who falls to me. I got 2 guys I got my eye on right now, but I think one of them falls back to next round. I'm afraid Get Swifty is going to, he's already sniped me. He or she has already sniped me a few different times. Ah, and that was one of the top two in my queue.
Yes. Oh, Brian Ross. So Jacoby Myers goes to Dream Team. Then Brian Robinson selected at 10:07, whose stock is going up quite a bit. This is one of my favorite later picks in a lot of mocks we've done, kind of get ahead of the news. Now it looks like the news has gotten ahead of us.
Yeah, and so I'll take the other player that was at the top of my queue. We talked about him the other day on the podcast. I think Julio Jones still has some juice in the tank, so I'm going to buy into a really good offense in Tampa Bay.
All right, so buying into the offense with Julio Jones. Graham, it's coming up to you next, so what are you looking to put on the roster as you look here on deck?
Sure, yeah, I'm at a point now where it's like, I think running back is kind of where I like looking in this spot. I was with D-Bro on Brian Robinson, so it's good to know that I wasn't going to get sniped on him. I'll take my guy at the top of the queue here, Darrell Henderson. I think last year's setup, you can literally just copy and paste last year's setup before Cam Akers got hurt to this year. Darrell Henderson has, you know, top 15, top 20 upside if Akers were to miss any time. There's already reports of them splitting carries. I don't really buy that. I think Derek said that earlier. I don't buy it. Sean McVay is a one running back kind of guy, but if Cam Akers were to miss a game or two, DeHendo, we know, man. He was last year, he was a RB14 by points per game, and the full games that he started, they're both dealing with some soft tissue issues. I'm not really overly concerned about either, to be honest with you. Rams medical staff is arguably the sharpest in the NFL, and they're also very, very conservative. They don't play their guys in the preseason. McVay wants both Akers and Henderson ready to roll week one. I'm not too concerned about either, but I like taking DeHendo in the 10th round quite a bit. He's one of my favorite late round running back targets.
Tyler Boyd goes at 10-11, then Dawson Knox at 10-12. Once again, if you're watching on our YouTube channel, make sure you're a subscriber, comment below, and you could win, not today, but you could win this month, a brand new Javonte Williams autographed jersey, thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. So obviously a fantastic giveaway. Make sure you make a comment. Whose draft do you love? Whose draft do you like? Whose draft do you hate? Or, you know, just try to be on the positive side. I mean, it's a good thing to be positive. I'm asking you to be a little positive. It's most of you are. Is a shout out to all of our people here, fantasy pros who watch the shows. We appreciate you. You're a positive, fun bunch, and we're happy to be here drafting against some of you today. So go ahead and check that out once again, and make sure you like this video. Don't forget to like the stream. It's very important, incredibly important. Chris keeps telling me, please, please tell them to like the stream. All of his security is all just built up in the liking of the stream. So you got to like the stream, please. It builds up Chris. It lets him go outside and talk to other people. That confidence is really huge for him. Tyler Allgeier goes next after Dawson Knox at 10-12. 11-01, Tyler Allgeier starts the round off. Alexander Mattison and then Grant Barfield. You went wide receiver here. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, MVS, you know, he's going to be their number two in two wide receiver sets. I think they're going to move him a bit into the slot. Really, the Chiefs are going to go with like a wide receiver by committee approach. You know, I think you could probably pencil in Juju as the top guy by targets, but I think it's going to be really close with him and Sky Moore too when Sky Moore gets rolling. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit at the top of the show, Joe. You know, in half PPR, I want touchdown makers. And MVS, while he's probably going to be pretty boom or bust, you know, I feel pretty confident that there's going to be one or two games this year where I'm going to be able to, you know, kind of plug him in and maybe a flex spotter as my three and during the bye weeks and get a, you know, four catch, 80 yard, one touchdown game out of him.
All right. Kenneth Gainwell goes next. Then Rondell Moore to Derek Brown. Adam, my cue onto your team. Nice selection here. Good value. Let's talk about the upside. Do you believe Rondell Moore is a guy who can give you more than just the first 6 weeks? Do you think that there's another gear in him we haven't seen even when Hopkins returns and all of a sudden this wide receiver group gets a little bit more, I would say, crowded?
I mean, Erickson talked about him yesterday. I love Rondell Moore. I still think that the talent is still real. And just because he didn't blow up in his rookie season, we saw flashes especially the early part of the season. And then feels like whenever the Cardinals offense overall just kind of like when it tanked, so did Rondell Moore. And then he had injury stuff. So I love buying into second year wide receivers. And so, yeah, Rondell Moore fits the bill in this part of the draft.
All right. So Rondell Moore goes to Derek Brown after that. Another guy goes flying out of my queue, Khalil Herbert, one of my favorite late picks. Can't get anything past this group. Pat Freiermuth, Jahan Dotson, 11-08, then 11-09. Jarvis Landry, 11-10. And once again, two nights in a row, once again, Erickson takes Isaiah Pacheco right from underneath me. So let's talk about him. The buzz has certainly been palpable. So let's talk about it a little bit. Do you feel like this point in the draft, you might as well throw a shot at him, right, Erickson?
I mean, yeah, like I'm looking at my queue and kind of like my top ranked players and they're all just running backs that are, you know, quote unquote, an injury away. You know, I'm hoping if an injury happens to them, they could see an expanded role. And I mean, it looks like at least Pacheco is in the driver's seat to be the RB2 in the Chiefs backfield. That doesn't mean he's going to have, you know, standalone value next to Edwards-Helaire, but, you know, we've seen Edwards-Helaire for two seasons and, you know, kind of fall on his face, like, and not get the job done, whether it's because of injury, whether it's because he's getting, you know, his gallbladder removed, whatever. You know, Pacheco, they're giving him a shot and he's doing everything he can to try to run away with it. So, yeah, I think that with the 12th round pick end of the 11th round, I got no problems taking a shot on an upside running back.
All right. So no running backs left for me. I'm out. I'm done. So I'm just going to keep taking wide receivers here because, I mean, I don't care at this point. I'll trade a wide receiver for running back later on. I got three. I'll figure it out. I'll take Devontae Parker at 11-12. So hopefully he'll give me six good games. And that'll be enough. Hopefully I'll pick the right six there. And then I'm going to take KJ Osborne, another one of my favorite guys here at 12-01 to kick things off. I got a reach alert, but I mean, I don't care at this point in the draft. Like I'm not going to just throw away picks on maybe possible running backs that might never see the light of day or do anything or going to be out there back and forth off the waiver wire. I'm going to take some wide receiver talent and hope that some of those guys break away. Big Pot Energy, you're up next at 12-02. What are you doing?
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Darrell Williams. For the Arizona Cardinals running back. Look, like the buzz.
That was the only guy I even was tolerating. So talk about why you liked him too.
So, I mean, Darrell Williams showed out last year when he got the opportunity in the Chiefs offense. Like he was, you know, we look at the splits with James Conner without Chase Edmonds, but you look at, you know, what Darrell Williams did without Edwards-Helaire as the starter. I mean, he was averaging nearly 20 fantasy points per game. So I know he's not like the sexiest name, and people were concerned that he wasn't even the RB2 with Eno Benjamin getting a lot of the camp buzz. But I mean, they did not play him in the first preseason game. Like, and it wasn't because he was hurt or anything. Like, they rested their starters, and it at least appears like they're telling us that Darrell Williams has his role locked up on this roster, you know, as the primary handcuff to James Conner. So, you know, Benjamin may have more, you know, quote unquote, standalone value alongside, you know, a healthy James Conner. But if Conner suffers an injury, which has been kind of his thing over the last couple of years, it seems like Darrell Williams has the most to gain in that current situation. So I want pieces of high powered offenses, and Darrell Williams is a cheap way to get access to this Cardinals offense.
All right, let's continue on here and keep recapping the board. Right now, after Big Pot Energy took Darrell Williams, Ronald Jones went, Michael Gallup, Nico Collins at 1205, George Pickens at 1206, another name flying up the board, Jalen Tolbert at 1207, Jamal Williams goes to Derek Brown at 1208, so a little running back insurance here, yes?
Well, Get Swifty pulled out the pain stick and sniped me there. So that kind of sucks. I was hoping Jim and Tolbert would make it to the next round. So yeah, I'll just take the Motor City version of Darrell Williams. I'll go with Jamal Williams. Call me prisoner of the moment. But I mean, we saw in week one, DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams split snaps right down the middle. And if anybody's going to be a thorn in DeAndre Swift's side, if he misses time, again, same things that apply for Darrell Williams apply for Jamal Williams. So I'll take the shot here.
All right. Then after that, DJ Shark. And then the guy who looks like he's working out of the slot for the New York Giants in camp, Wandell Robinson, goes to you, Grant Barfield. So is it just as simple as that, the slot targets?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's something to be said that Kenny Galladay's out there running like he's like stuck in mud. Kadarius Toney's battling a knee injury. He got his knee scoped this offseason, and he's working off to the side of the day. I think they're just really being cautious with him. But, you know, this weekend, guys, was pretty bad for most of the rookies except for Wandale. He's already locked in as their three in the slot. And like I said, if Kenny Galladay is truly over the cliff, there's going to be a lot of targets to go around here. Rondale Moore just merged.
Hey.
Wandell Robinson.
Don't hate that.
Is one of the most productive receivers in college last year. I love buying low on hyper productive college receivers that were drafted really early that no one really is super high on. I think everybody's been too low on Wandale all offseason. I have been loading up, and I will load up here again more. I do like him more in PPR. I don't think he has a ton of touchdown upside, but look, he's my wide receiver six. I'll take him.
All right, six wide receiver. Christian Watson goes next at 1211. Then Tyrion Davis-Price goes at 1212 at 1301. Kirk Cousins, Joshua Palmer. And then you went running back here with your next selection, Graham. Let's find out more about that.
Yeah, like I said, this weekend was not good for a lot of the rookies. That includes Rashad White. Rashad White was going in like the 10th round of most drafts, 11th round of most drafts this summer. So I'm happy to get him here in round 13. He might be their three or four to start the season, but let's be honest. I mean, Gio Bernard, it's looking rough out there for him. Keyshawn Vaughn can't get on the field during the regular season. I think it's just a matter of time before Rashad White becomes their two. And he's my handcuff to Leonard Fournette. So I've got the Bucs backfield hypothetically locked up here.
All right, locking up the backfield. J.D. McKissic goes next, then Derek Brown. You're taking a fun, exciting player named Isaiah McKenzie. Let's talk about that selection here from the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, we've seen what Cole Beasley's done in this Bills offense for the last 2 years. So, yeah, if Isaiah McKenzie is going to be the starting slot in one of the best offenses in the NFL, he's going way too late. So the Bills kind of told us that, like, Jamison Crowder was out there running routes this week. Isaiah McKenzie was not. So yeah, he's still going way too late in drafts.
Way too late in drafts for your liking. Matthew Stafford goes all the way in the 13th round there. Tristan Ebner goes next there. Chicago running back 1307. I think it's the first draft
to see that
we've had in this year where that's happened. Jameson Williams goes next at 1308. Mike Gesicki at 1309. BPE, you're on deck here. How are you going to screw me next?
I don't know. You have to wait and see.
That was a good answer.
I'm not quite sure yet.
Corey Davis gets selected. You're on the clock. All right, go ahead. Take your player.
Corey Davis. I was thinking about Corey. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to draft Corey Davis.
You are not there.
The experts tell me to draft Kenny Galladay, but clearly they did not watch the tape from Thursday night. So I'm not going with Kenny Galladay. I'm going with, Okay, what's his last name? Like, I want to make sure I get this right.
It's Dobbs. Yesterday we
Dobbs?
Were told it was Dobbs.
Okay,
today it's Dobbs. I was waiting, and yes, he was in my queue, and yes, I was going to take him. So you're a jerk. That's basically it. That's it. So Romeo Dobbs, which is what I started to say last week, and then they said no, it's Dobbs. Now it's Dobbs. Romeo D is how he's going to be referred to on the show. I'm going to take Zamir White here, and right now the pickings are indeed slim. So rather than try to do that, I'm going to try to get ahead of another game that I like to play here, which is the defense game. I can wait till the very last pick and go take one, or I can just go ahead and take the Bucks and their easy, super soft schedule. And I mean super soft. It's kind of crazy. I mean, they're going to just pound on that division, I feel like. So give me the Bucks D here. Go ahead, BPE. Go ahead. Go take somebody else here, 1402. Who you got next in the queue?
Yeah, so I probably should want to continue to stack up running backs because I kind of went aggressive with wide receivers. So I'll take someone with some intrinsic upside. Where with the Ernest Johnson, you know, he didn't play in the Browns game at all in the preseason. So I think that they kind of view him as a pseudo starter potentially, or someone that has a lot of value to their offense and to their team. So Kareem Hunt's been rumored to be traded. If Kareem Hunt gets traded, then De'Ernest Johnson then moves up in the pecking order behind Nick Chubb. And we've seen that RB2 role in that Browns offense be one that has value. So I like De'Ernest Johnson here, 14th pick.
I've seen you've gotten off of the Sony Michel wagon the last few weeks. Is that a specific reason why, maybe, or just something you've heard or seen recently? Because that's usually where we're at in this draft, like the Sony Michel pick, the obligatory one from Erickson. But what's changed?
Yeah, I think with Sony Michel, I think it's just like I'm the only one that, like, I feel like he just doesn't get drafted if I don't take him. So I almost feel like if I don't take him, then I know he'll be on the waiver wire. And you know, it did open my eyes a little bit that he is like clearly the RB3 behind Mostert and Edmonds. So he's not going to do a lot while those guys are healthy, but I just know that Mostert is not built to, you know, last. Like we've seen, he's 30 years old. So Michelle will definitely be someone I'm still like keeping tabs on, but you know, week one comes along, it's going to probably be Mostert and Edmonds mostly in the Miami backfield.
All right. After you go ahead and take D'Ernest Johnson, Buffalo Bills defense, then Mostert, the 49ers, Albert O, the Rams, David Njoku to Derek Brown at 1408 is your backup tight end. Feeling strong about that, D-Bro?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it was either Albert O or David Njoku. If Dallas Goedert's not going to be the guy to break out, then I really like David Njoku here. Even if Brissett's the quarterback for half a season, the entire season, doesn't matter. I mean, we're buying into efficiency and talent here.
All right, don't forget to like the stream and make sure you subscribe to Fantasy Pros, and that way you can comment and you might be able to get that Javonte Williams jersey autographed right there, pristineauction.com, giving us these things to give to you. It's a beautiful time to be part of the Fantasy Pros family. Look at that. I mean, look how good that's going to look either on the wall, or you could run around with it. You can, I mean, if D-Bro had this after this draft, he would be wearing it right now because he selected Javonte Williams in the second round, fair. Which I am all for. I was so happy, man. I got him in the fourth round of flex last weekend. Oof. I couldn't believe that happened. Actually, it was a fourth or a fifth round in flex. Crazy things. That's crazy wild. Times. That draft was insane. Let's go to the rest of these picks here as we close things out. After Njoku, Kenny Galladay does eventually begrudgingly gets selected, and then Grant Barfield, you're up next, and you took a running back from Arizona.
I did. I'm on Darrell Williams big time, actually, as their number two there. I think if anything were to happen, James Conner, it'd be Darrell Williams on early downs, getting all the goal line work. But hey, you know, there's a chance, you know, Benjamin kind of plays that like Chase Edmonds-ish role. I don't think he's that type of, you know, a player where you can give him like 40% of the snaps, but things bake right. I like, you know, a little bit more in PPR, but he was like the top late round running back. I almost considered taking two tight ends, like Derek did too, but I'll just swing for the fences with a back here.
Colts go at 14-11, then Alec Pierce at 14-12. The Chargers D, another one of my favorites, at 15-01. Sony Michel goes to Reefy Reef, so it can't be yours anymore, BPE. That's back to you, Graham, with your last pick of the draft, which is a defense, because that's what you're missing, and you took who?
The Cleveland Browns. Just look at their early season schedule, guys. I mean, it's super, super easy. I'm a big fan of adjusting for like quarterback schedules early in the year, and a huge fan of defense schedules too. I'm also a huge fan of Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker. I think they're like just, you know, huge players.
A heck of a grouping there. There's for sure some disdain from the rest of our colleagues after that selection of the Browns. The Broncos go next. So Derek Brown, D up. Let's go.
I'm reeling from that because I had the only defense I had in my queue was the Browns. So I was like, there's no way nobody's going to take the Browns, right? No, there's no way. There's no way. So
that's Grant Barfield. Don't you know who that is?
I mean,
you know, when the bot gets you. Who do you think you're drafting against here? Just some random person who would go in a room and call themselves drafter? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm just a draft bot. I'm just a draft bot. I'm a lonely draft bot over here.
And I can say confidently that the Browns are going to smash in week one against the Carolina Panthers, whose offense I watched all day today, and I was not good.
Yeah, and then by the way, they get the Jets week two. By the way, I think I said something about Devontae Wyatt. I was looking at the Packers. Sorry, my brain broke there for a second.
That's all right.
They get the Jets week two. I think they get the Jags in week three. Don't quote me on that. But
All right, well, Kenyon Drake.
The Patriots love just rubbed off of me, so that's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Derek Brown, you took the Patriots. So would you like to talk more about that selection or back? No? You're good. Doers. All right.
So
you have Kenyon Drake, the Saints, Marlon Mack, Cowboys, Aaron Rodgers, and Baltimore Ravens. I've got to make a final pick here real quick here. I'm going to take Gus Edwards with my last pick here, Mr. Irrelevant. And, of course, a C. I am always just passing and getting by life here on Draft Wizard. That's what happens. That's how Draft Wizard feels about me. Grant Barfield, how did the Draft Wizard feel about your mock draft? What grade did you receive?
I got a B+. Nice. Pretty happy about it. 88 out of 100. Listen, I was a guy in college who got C's just to pass, and C's get degrees. So I'm more than happy with a B+ here.
That was nice. That was very encouraging to me, who got a C. Derek Brown, what grade did you receive from Draft Wizard?
The wizard cast a lowly, horrible spell. I got turned into a frog. I got a D.
You got a D? Oh my goodness. Check this out.
Fine.
I am the best of the three of us. I am 10. Derek Brown is dead last. Again, get your guys. Who cares? I don't care.
Yep.
And in BPE, you're the peanut butter and jelly in between these two pieces of bread there. I see you at number 11. So what did the Draft Wizard give you?
Yeah, I got a D+, and I got 1 point higher than D-Bro did. And then there's...
Hey, you know what? I loved my draft, okay? So I'm fine with it.
I actually liked my team a lot, too.
Same.
Well, I'm looking at the hot take right now, and it says, Joe Pizzapia of Fantasy Pros likes your draft more than any other expert. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. I want to give a shout out, though, to the real heroes of this draft, the winners, who are obviously our gang here at Fantasy Pros who are drafting with us. Keeg Hogg won the draft. Congratulations, Keeg Hogg, at 10-15 score. Stosi Bro was number two. Dave C was three. Graham, you actually finished as fourth, but we're not going to give you a subscription. We're going to make you pay for it because you're very... I'll see if we can get you maybe like a month.
Yeah,
I'll get you like a month for free.
We can trade.
You can't give the draft bot a free sub, Joe. Good lord.
I can give you like onesie?
A sub
from, no?
I can
no,
give you like a sandwich. No. I give you a free sub like a sandwich, but I can't give you a free sub. I can give you a hoagie. And then Chris 2333 finished fifth. So I'm going to have to go to Chris here, our producer, for a little clarity. And I want to remind everybody, if you enjoyed the stream today, make sure you like it. Make sure you comment so you can win that Javonte jersey. But Chris, so do we just go right now to the next person who's fifth? Because, I mean, I'd like to give Graham something. Maybe we'll give him like a, you know, maybe a Javonte Williams autographed bobblehead or something instead. Maybe we can find him something. But let's dig a little deeper into the analysis because that's always what's fun in terms of the expert opinions. I love my draft more than anybody. I gave myself an A in 96, and I think that's fair. I'm all about that. Looking at the people who didn't like my draft, I'm fine. I'm at peace with all that. It always hurts when it's somebody that I really, you know, is one of my real favorite people or somebody I really respect when they just hate my draft. It doesn't happen very often, but that does kind of hurt personally. Derek Brown, since you were dead last, tell me who liked your draft. Anybody?
I liked my own draft. I gave myself an 89. Mm-hmm. Bill Enright from Sports Illustrated gave me an 88. Thank you very much.
There you go. Nice bill.
But yes, the people that did not like it, Scott Engel did not like my draft. Murph from 5 Yard Rush hated my draft. He gave me a 52. So Murph, we're gonna have to talk in DMs.
British are very tough on that. I went to school in England.
Time difference, baby.
They are very tough. They're very tough graders.
Time difference. Guess what? You're getting a DM at 3 a.m. Murph. Love you.
There you go. How about you, Erickson? In terms of expert opinions, what it looked like?
So I gave myself a 95. So very, very good job. Andrew Erickson approves. Dalton Del Don from Yahoo Sports gave me a B+. So
okay, that is a good
happy about that. 87. He likes Saquon, Elijah Moore, Devin Singletary. So I think I drafted a lot of polarizing players that people are like, oh, I love this guy, or like, he sucks. Like, this guy's horrible. So that's probably why there's a very, I got some A's and then a lot of F's from a lot of other individuals that are ranking. Monstradamus, Beast Dome, gave me a 52 out of 100. So yeah.
You know what's fascinating too is the fact that you got one single point above Derek Brown. Like, that is, wow, that is unbelievable.
Well, I mean, it did say that I reached on Isaiah Pacheco by 12 rounds. So 12 rounds.
Some people need to update
24.
Their rankings. That's what
it's,
I think.
You know what? You got that one extra point because I got sniped on the defense. Okay. That's what it is.
And that one shred of dignity. Yeah. That's what that one point is. That single solitary shred. How about you, Grant Barfield? When we look at the expert opinions, anybody stick out in terms of liking or disliking what you did?
I'm sorry, I can't see that screen on my end.
If you go to the summary there, and we'll talk you through, perhaps, when you go to the projected standings, and then you click, you'll see expert opinions, you'll see summary and steals. If you can't see it, that's okay. I can run through your team anyway, and you find it?
Yeah, I'm a boomer, guys. I'm sorry. I'm 28,
okay.
But I'm like,
that's okay. Joe is too, and we deal with it. It's okay.
It's still not showing me expert opinions there, but yeah, if you want to run through it, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to run through your team. Let's see how you feel about it. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's what really matters. Kyler Murray's your QB, definitely a potential league winner. Christian McCaffrey, same thing. Leonard Fournette. Then you have your wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Cooks, Marquise Brown, TJ Hawkinson, Devontae Smith in the flex spot. Your defense is the Browns. Then Ken Walker, Daryl Henderson, MVS, Rashad White, Wandale Robinson, and Eno Benjamin is the bench. So how do you feel about this roster? Are you going to war with this in the half PPR?
Yeah, I love the running backs. I wish my receivers were just a little stronger. I do love Tyreek and Cooks, though. But I mean, if Christian McCaffrey and Fournette stay healthy for me, I'm going to have the best running backs in this league here.
I have a quick question for Graham. So Graham, I just have a quick, so you came on here and you talked about zero hedge. But you drafted Fournette, and then you drafted Rashad White, who looks like a handcuff running back. Is that a hedge, or is that just?
That was strictly a value play. I mean, I was kind of surprised Rashad White was there. I was just like, best player available, and I happen to have Fournette. I usually do not handcuff. Like, I want your guys' handcuffs. But in 13th round, like, Rashad White was just too big of a value to pass up. I mean, I'm looking at it now. The backs that were on the board there were McKissick, Ebner, Zamir White. I took Eno Benjamin, Raheem Mostert, Ernest Johnson. I mean, White's got, just as much, if not more upside than all those guys.
No. All right. Now, your handcuffs, Derek Brown, usually have that pink fuzzy stuff on them. So let's talk about your draft here for a moment and go through your roster. Your roster starts off with Jalen Hurts, then Javonte Williams, Cam Akers as the RBs, Jamar Chase, Rashad Bateman, Gabriel Davis. Boy, that's a Joey P group if ever I saw one there. Those three pretty maids all in a row. Dallas Goedert, a tight end. Your flex is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, then the Pats D. Claypool, Jamal Williams, Rondell Moore, and Njoku, Julio Jones, and Isaiah McKenzie. I don't like your bench, D-Bro, but I love your roster. I think your roster is terrific, your main starting guys. What do you think about this?
I might be the only fan of this team. See what I did there?
Full circle from the start of the show.
I'm a fan of your team, Derek. You kept sniping me left and right. So
I mean, my thing is, I feel like I go deep in the ECR for these wide receivers that aren't getting enough love and rankings right now. Like Isaiah McKenzie and Julio should be ranked higher than they are. Nobody ever loves Jamal Williams, but it's still a fact that he's just a cheaper version of Daryl. You know, like, I mean, when you get Motor City Mentor, you got to go for it, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You got to. It's all about the grit, baby. All about the grit. BPE, Trey Lance is the QB, Saquon Barkley, Devin Singletary, the running backs, then Stephon Diggs, Jalen Waddle, Cortland Sutton, Cole Kmet, Elijah Moore. That's a hell of a wide receiver group you got there. Then the Ravens, D, Amon-Ra St. Brown goes to the bench. My God, wow, what depth you have, Red Riding Hood. You have Cordell Patterson, Daryl Williams, D'Ernest Johnson, Romeo Dobbs, right? Did I get it? I did it. Okay. Isaiah Pacheco down at the bottom here. Now, once again, the consensus hasn't caught up to the big pod energy, I feel like. So let's talk about this roster, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions about it.
I mean, I really like it. I kind of executed on my hero RB, anchor RB, whatever you want to call it, you know, drafting Saquon Barkley within the top two rounds, and then basically kind of punting running back and just drafting the most talented wide receiver. Like you said, like Amon-Ra St. Brown's on my bench because I didn't want to take one of those running backs that was like in his range. Like I could have taken Josh Jacobs, but it's like, you know, is Josh Jacobs like that much better than Devin Singletary is going to be? Like both guys are, you know, good offenses, you know, early down work, but not much in the receiving game. So it's like, I'd rather just bank another, you know, wide receiver breakout because not necessarily like Elijah Moore may not hit or St. Brown may not hit, but like they both won't hit. Like all I need is really one of them to kind of take that next step. And I'm increasing my chances of that happening by drafting multiple guys that have the chance to break out. And same thing with Jaylen Waddle, another, you know, year two receiver. That's when we see these guys take these massive steps forward, especially after really encouraging rookie season. So I think that my team has a lot of upside. I like Cole Kmet as a late round tight end. Now, like I guess in PPR, it'd probably be better just because receivers can keep up a little bit more with some of the running backs, but I'm fine with Singletary as my RB2. And then, you know, maybe I just get lucky with either an injury working in my favor with some of my, you know, backup running backs on my bench that they can have a larger role as the season progresses.
All right. My team, Derek Carr, Joe Mixon, Tony Pollard, then my wide receivers, Devontae Adams, Mike Williams, Alan Lazard, Kyle Pitts at tight end. Stevenson's at the flex with the Bucs defense. Treylon Burks, Sky Moore, Devontae Parker, KJ Osborne, Zamir White, and Gus Edwards as the bench. I'd go to war with this. I don't love it necessarily, but I will say that BPE sniped me many, many times in this draft. So although he did get back at me, the draft wizard did, you know, stick it to him at the end and did give me a better grade at the end of the day. I want everybody to go to the Twitter machine if they don't already and follow Graham Barfield at Graham Barfield. Check out all of his great work, obviously, at Fantasy Points. Graham, we can't thank you enough, not only for coming on today with us, putting up with our nonsense, but also for changing times with us and being patient early on. Again, just tell everybody what you guys got going on at Fantasy Points, because I know it's an exciting, great group of people you work with there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. First and foremost, thank you guys for having me on. This was awesome. A lot of fun. Thanks, you guys kept it light. Analysis was great, too. So really appreciate you guys. Yeah. FantasyPoints.com, man. We're doing a lot of great stuff. Projections being updated daily. I'm rewatching all the preseason games right now. Derek, I got our guy Jalen Hurts up here earlier. Third time rewatching that game.
Another drop back to throw. yes.
Let's just say we're getting happy over here, guys. But yeah, if you would like to subscribe to fantasypoints.com, you can use code 22 Barfield. Save yourself 10% off. We have a standard sub that goes for $50. So you can save yourself like, man, I don't know, $8. Get a Chipotle bowl with it. But yeah, thank you guys.
Outstanding stuff, man. Thanks again. It's always great to talk to you. One of the best minds in fantasy football. No joke right there. And of course, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Fantasy Pros YouTube channel. Tick that little bell right there. Click it for notifications. And again, comment right here. It's your last chance and you might win that Javonte Williams autographed jersey. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Also, don't forget to go play NFT Fantasy Football over at www.sbs.xyz. That's Spoiled Banana Society, sbs.xyz. NFT Fantasy Football, real money, real football, real fun. Go check it out today. And of course, go check out our draft wizard, and that is over at fantasypros.com/draft wizard, where you can get in mock drafts now and draft against great people like we drafted today. Go ahead, start trading for the season. You can run the regular simulations by yourself. You can send links. You can set them up. There's so many ways to do it, but you got to go start now because the season's only a few weeks away and you need to be prepared for the real draft when it comes sometime late August, early September, whenever those drafts might be. Go use that draft wizard at fantasypros.com right now and get prepared today. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Buffalo Wild Wings. Head over to buffalowildwings.com/fantasy today. Book that draft party. Get all the food, all the drink, all the fun you can handle at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Book your draft day today at Buffalo Wild Wings. And of course, don't forget about drafters.com. Use the promo code Fantasy Pros when you make your first deposit at drafters.com, and you'll get a free $20 ticket into the contest for a free shot at a $1 million prize over at drafters.com. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Graham Barfield and Derrickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.